A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. We set sail from Troas, making a straight run for Samothrace, and on the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city in that district of Macedonia, and a Roman colony. We spent some time in that city. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate along the river, where we thought there would be a place of prayer. We sat and spoke with the women who had gathered there. One of them, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, a worshiper of God, listened. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and her household had been baptized, she offered us an invitation. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she prevailed on us. Verbum Domini. The Lord takes delight in his people. Sing to the Lord a new song, a praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King.
The Lord takes delight in his people.
Let them praise his name in the festive dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord loves his people, and he adorns the lowly with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. Alleluia.
The Lord takes
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuum.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you."
Verbum Domini.
Domus.
On this Memorial Day, we honor the men and women who gave their lives and died while serving in the U.S. military to protect and to defend our freedom. We remember and honor them today and pray for the blessed repose of their souls. They are an example to us of the generous gift of sacrifice. And our Lord shows us the supreme example of the gift of sacrifice, the sacrifice on the cross. He practiced what he preached, that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. So on this day, we honor those who have died in service to our country, but it doesn't end there. We also pray for them. We intercede for them, particularly remembering them in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, in this Mass. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. We also pray for peace in our country and throughout the world, especially in the Middle East and between Ukraine and Russia. In fact, the prayers of this Mass are for the preservation of peace and justice. Again, we thank God for the life of those who have gone before us serving to preserve our freedom, and we continue to pray for their blessed repose. In our reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of the Lord opening the heart of Lydia to pay attention to what St. Paul was saying. She was given a particular grace to understand the words of Paul, and her conversion is attributed to the fact that the Lord opened her heart. That's what we just heard in the reading. The Lord opened her heart, and she understood what St. Paul was saying. This reminds us that faith is a gift. We cannot give ourselves the supernatural gift of faith. Grace precedes faith. It's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit prepares the mind and heart with the grace needed to embrace the message. And if one's heart is open to receive the grace, God then infuses the supernatural virtue of faith into the soul. And it's this virtue by which we firmly believe all the truths that God has revealed to us, in which he teaches through the authority of the magisterium of his church, because he is truth itself. And we want to preserve this treasured gift of faith because it can be lost. St. Paul would tell Timothy in his first letter to him, to wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Because by rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith. It is possible to lose our faith. So how can we preserve this supernatural virtue of faith, which is also the seed of our salvation? We preserve it by being faithful to God's grace each day, by being faithful to prayer each day. We have to pray. We preserve it by combating our intellectual pride and selfishness and sin, by fighting the good fight, rejecting those things that might be a danger to our faith. And we preserve it by the regular study and reading of sacred scripture and by the regular study of our Catholic faith and the doctrine that's been preserved and handed on from the beginning of the church. Today also, there's many things that we honor today and many people as well. We also celebrate the optional memorial of St. Philip Neri, who was born in Florence, Italy, and he lived in the 16th century. This was a time of great crisis and upheaval in the church. But it's also, at the same time, it's been called the century of the saints. St. Philip Neri was a contemporary of St. Teresa of Avila, of St. John of the Cross, of St. Francis Xavier, and he also knew personally St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Charles Borromeo, and he was good friends with St. Felix of Cantalice. And as Philip had been working with his spiritual director and his confessor, he discerned a call to the priesthood, and he was ordained at the age of 36, and he'd later go on to found the Congregation of the Oratorians, one of the most well-known being St. John Henry Newman. And although Philip had a burning desire to go to the East to be a missionary, just as St. Francis Xavier had done, he was encouraged to remain in Rome and to carry out his apostolate as a missionary there instead. And he'd become known as the second apostle of Rome, due to his effective apostolate and the many conversions that took place due to his influence. He was also known for his cheerfulness and for joking around, but he didn't avoid talking about the cross. He would encourage people by saying the worst tribulation of the true servant of God is to be without tribulation, right? Suffering the cross is good for us. It hurts, it's never comfortable, but it's good for our souls. He said, never try to evade the cross that God sends you, for you will only find a heavier one. And we must accept the adversities which God sends us without reasoning too much upon them. And we must take for granted that it is the best thing which could happen to us. To think the cross is the best thing that can happen to our souls. He said, we must always remember that God does everything well, although we may not see the reason of what he does. Right? We trust that God has our good in mind when he permits particular crosses in our lives, and that we are being sanctified through the cross. St. Philip would also say very bluntly that he who wants something other than Christ does not know what he wants. He who seeks something other than Christ does not know what he seeks. He who works for something other than Christ does not know what he's doing. Right? Christ is everything. He is the focus of our lives. He should be the focus of our lives. And at one point during a particularly difficult and trying time for Philip, he asked the Lord, "Why do you not hear me? So long and so earnestly have I asked patience of you. Why have you not heard me?" And at once he seemed to hear a voice which said, "You ask patience of me? Be sure I will give it to you, but this is the means by which it is my will that you should gain it." Right? It was precisely in suffering that particular trial that was the occasion for Philip to grow in the virtue of patience. Likewise, our trials are occasions and invitations to grow in the virtues of patience and trust in the Lord. And of course, like St. Philip, we should persevere in asking the Lord for his grace to assist us in our need. St. Philip would also say regarding this that when God intends to grant a man a particular type of virtue, it is his way to let him be tempted to the opposite vice, so that the soul, by combating temptations, may develop a greater capacity for the virtue these temptations attack. So in other words, as just noted, if God wants me to grow in the grace, in the virtue of patience, he gives me the grace, he is going to allow me to be tempted and tested in that area. There will be many opportunities provided, right? Maybe difficult people to deal with or difficult situations. If he wants us to grow in the virtue, he's going to give us the opportunities to be tested in that area. And St. Philip would give very practical advice, saying, at Holy Communion, we ought to ask for the remedy of the vice to which we feel ourselves most inclined. That's the privileged time to ask. So right now, what is the vice that I am most struggling with? I want to ask to grow in the opposite virtue today when I receive the Lord in Holy Communion. Right? He is closest to me then. He is within me substantially. Lord, help me to grow in this particular virtue. I'll conclude with this recommendation from St. Philip Neri on the topic of spiritual reading, which is always helpful for our prayer lives. He loved reading sacred scripture, and particularly the epistles of St. Paul. In addition to scripture, it was a saying of his that regarding spiritual reading, we should chiefly read the authors whose names begin with S, that is, the lives and writings of the saints, right? You'd say St. Augustine, St. Bernard, you go on and on. We can profit from the writings of all the saints. They were close friends of God. He said the best preparation for prayer is to read the lives of the saints, not from mere curiosity, but quietly and with recollection a little at a time, and to pause whenever you feel your heart touched with devotion.